Well, good morning. If you have your Bible, Psalm 57 is where I'd like for you to look. And I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest, God bless you for being here. We're delighted you're here. These days, we're going through some of David's life experiences to teach us a little bit about what it means for God to take us, just like the potter takes the clay, mold us, shapes us, allows things to come in our life, in order for us to be blessed people. So brokenness in our life, when we yield ourselves to God, leads to blessing and blessedness. So that's what we'll be doing in just a moment. So for all of our church folks who are here, let me remind you, as we come next week, Memorial Day, as we start the summertime, I have here what I carry in my Bible. Many of us put these in our Bibles in January when we voted on our budget. As a member of First Baptist Church, I commit to tithe for the year of 2017. In support of the work Jesus has called this church to do, I will give like Jesus. Don't forget, the work of the church goes on all through the summer as you're in and out. Thank you for your wonderful giving. This church is a wonderful giving church. I just want to remind us of that as we go into the summer. Thank you for giving like Jesus. The other thing I have here is this green sheet of paper, or this folder. We have these all over the church building. This is our Bible reading plan as a church. And I know many of you read, have your own Bible reading plans, and that's great, that's wonderful. But let me encourage you to join us in reading one chapter a day, along with all of us who are here at the church, because I believe that God will use our reading together to speak to us as a church and help us know what he wants us to do. So, if you'll do that, make sure you pick that up. Now, Psalm 57. We found David in the forest in past Psalms. Last week, if you were here, we found David making a choice and going somewhere. You see, David's being chased for his life. He's in a bad place. There's a king who wants to kill him. It's a life and death matter. So he's running and making all of these crazy decisions in desperation. And then we find out that he runs today. We find David in a cave. David is in the cave. So I want you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word, Psalm 57. And we're going to look at what David learned about being broken and blessed in the cave. We'll read the title for the choir director. Set to, that is, the tune is set to Al Tasheth, which means do not destroy. A miktam of David, that is, this is a psalm for all of us to think about and contemplate. It is a miktam of David. Notice when it was written, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me. For my soul takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until destruction passes by. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He reproaches him who tramples upon me. Selah, that means pause. God will send forth his loving kindness and his truth, or his faithfulness. My soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They dug a pit before me. They themselves have fallen into the midst of it. Selah. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises. Awake, my glory. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nation, for your loving kindness is great to the heavens, and your truth, your faithfulness, to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. As we stand, Heavenly Father, before you with our copy of God's Word, we now ask you to help us understand how to praise you in the cave. Help us, Lord, to learn what it means to allow you to break us so that you might bless us. Forgive us when we complain and we do not praise. Forgive us when we dishonor you and we do not glorify you through our lives. And we thank you for the example of David. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your example. You endured great hostility, you endured hatred, and you died that we might have life. So, Lord, today, teach us from your word and help us to understand the blessing of being broken. May my words honor Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So David, again, the title, he's in the cave. So David's run to this cave, church, and David's in desperation. Have you ever been desperate? You've been in a situation, you've been in a hard place in your life, and you don't really know what to do. You're not sure what you're supposed to do. David runs from the forest to the priests. Then he ends up among the Philistines. God delivers him there, and now he runs to what we read in 1 Samuel 22:1. He runs to the cave of Adullam. So here he is in the cave. A cave of despair, cave of fear, cave of doubt. You know, caves are dead ends. They just go down and back and into the earth generally. A cave doesn't have a back entrance. It only has a single entrance in. There's no way out. David's at a dead end. And some of us in this room, out of our desperation, we're at a dead end. What do we do? Where do we go? Who do we turn to? In the cave of desperation. It's a dark place. It's a lonely place. No resources in the cave of desperation. There's no help in there. There's nobody to turn to. In fact, the cave is a hiding place. The cave has become a final resort to get away from whatever it is we're running from. I want to ask you today, are you in the cave of despair? Well, what we learn here, quickly, is that this cave of desperation becomes a cave of blessing. Now that's worth hearing about. What did David learn in the cave? Well, I have three observations for you today. First of all, we see from these words in Psalm 57 that in the cave, God protected David as he prayed. Now look at this, church, verse 1. Here we have these words, "Be gracious to me, O God. Be gracious to me." We've heard those words before as we've been reading in the Psalms here in book 2 of the Psalms. Psalm 51, verse 1. "Be gracious to me, O God." God, give me your grace. Be great. Show me favor. That's what he's praying. I need your favor. I'm desperate. I need your favor. Be gracious to me. David said, as we read last week in Psalm 56, when he made that foolish decision to go back to Gath, we went back among the Philistines and found himself captured by them again. He prays in Psalm 56:1, "Be gracious to me, O God. Show favor to me." And now we read again, "Be gracious to me, O God." When you're in the cave of despair, David allowed that cave of despair to become a place of blessing. You know why, church? I put it here. He prayed. He prayed. Now, I've got to ask you this personal question. What's it going to take to get you to pray? What's it going to take? What kind of pain and struggle and difficulty is going to have to come to break your sheer stubborn independence? What is it that God's going to have to permit to come in your life in order to get you to pray? You see, the atheist doesn't pray. The atheist has no mind for God. There is no God for the atheist. But we who call ourselves followers of Jesus, we pray. So in the cave, God protected David as he prayed. In verse number 2, he says, I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. Now, right here at verse 2, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I want to give you some background. So the ancient children of Israel, the rabbis, the teachers of Israel for generations, they developed their own commentary on the Old Testament verses. And there are many rabbis who teach right after verse 2, they tell a story. Whether it's true or not, it's a great illustration for us, so I'll pause and give you a rabbinic story. Verse 2 reads like this, I will cry to God Most High. When you're in the cave of desperation, when it finally gets so bad, so hard, and you've run out of resources, listen to me, I'm trying to help you. You will cry to God the Most High. You will pray. So when David prayed, verse 2, I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. And so at this point, the rabbis, many of them, said that when David ran into the cave of Adullam, he's hiding in there from Saul's soldiers. They're hot on his trail, trying to find him. David doesn't know what to do. He's crying to God. Listen, he's praying in the cave. When you're desperate, when you finally get to the end of yourself, you pray. David's praying, and the rabbis say that God sent a spider. And a spider put his net. He weaved his spider web all across the entrance of the cave. So when the soldiers of Saul came by that cave entrance, they knew about these caves. They passed by because the spider web was unbroken. Now, what's it going to take in your life and mine? God sometimes sends a spider, doesn't he? Something overlooked, something insignificant, and we learn something when we're in our point of desperation and we cry. Listen, talking with God, praying, I will cry to God Most High. Notice in verse 1, my soul takes refuge in you. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, when you pray, go stand in the biggest building you can, raise up your hands so everybody can see you. Is that what he said? No. He said, go find a secret place. David found the cave to be a place, his secret place of prayer. When you pray, that's how you find refuge in God. You go and you tell God how you feel. Jesus said, when you go and when you pray, go to your closet, shut the door, and pray to your heavenly Father in secret, who sees and hears you in secret, listen, and he will reward you in secret. So this is the lesson. This is the lesson. In the cave, God protected David as he prayed. He went to the place of refuge. Notice what it says, until destruction passes by. What's it going to take to get you to pray? How hard does it have to get? You see, sometimes we say, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen to me? That maybe isn't the best thing. Maybe the best thing is to say, Lord, I'm accepting that you've let this happen to me. In the cave, God protected David as he prayed. Secondly, goes right along with this as we look through this psalm. in the cave, God provided something for David. He didn't bring him resources and didn't bring him food and water. No, God sent something his way. Look at this. I will cry to God Most High. Notice, I will cry to the highest one. I will cry to His Highness. I will cry to God Most High. I will cry to this God in verse 3. He will send from heaven and save me. He reproaches him who tramples upon me. Selah. Think about it. God takes care of the enemy. We pray to the Most High. He sends to us. Oh, it'll wonderful, blessed truth. He sent Jesus. Aren't you glad He sent Jesus? For God so loved the world, He gave His Son. He sent Jesus. I said, are you not glad that the Lord sent Jesus? He sent from heaven and saved me. God will send forth. Notice this. Notice, God will send forth His loving kindness and His truth, or His faithfulness. God provides. So when David's in the cave, when you and I are in the cave of desperation, that difficult time, that place of doubt, that place of fear, when we don't know what to do, when we've gotten ourselves in a circumstance we shouldn't be, or we're innocent, but we're captured by certain circumstances of life in an evil world, or we're pursued by the enemy, whatever it is that's causing that cave of despair, you're in despair. David turns a cave of despair into a place of prayer. He prays, and you know what? Here's what James says in the New Testament. Draw near to God, and He will do what? What does it say? That's right. When I draw near to God, I pray. Guess what He does? He sends His love, His assurance. He sends His faithfulness, His word to remind me, to remind you, I'm with you. I'm here. I'm in the cave. I haven't forgotten you. I love you even though you are in this cave. David's not in the palace. Look, when you're in the palace, what? You got a throne, you know? You're in charge in the palace. You're directing everything in the palace. Everything's put in order because you're the king of your life in the palace. Interesting, David didn't pray in the palace. He prayed in the cave. Well, Lord, I want everything to be good in my life. You're in a cave. What do you do in the cave? You know, there's an old saying, when the pain of staying the same exceeds the pain of changing, you will change. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Oh, the pain, the darkness, the disorientation, the dead end of a cave of despair. And David experienced, when he got in the cave and recognized what it was, he called out to God, be gracious to me. I will cry to the Most High God. And in the cave, God protected him. In the cave, God provided for him. But there's something else. This is the most important lesson. Third, in the cave, David glorified God. We have sometimes in our mind, in our misunderstanding of biblical truth, that when God comes to save us in Jesus and we're born again, we'll be able to glorify God because everything will be good in our life. No, friend, all things work together for good, but not all things are good, even when you're born again. In the cave, not in the palace, in the cave, David learned to glorify God. I want to ask you today, are you glorifying God where you are, whatever circumstance, whatever situation? You see, we read these words and they seem somewhat strange. Verse 4, my soul is among lions. I'm in a cave. I have to lie down among those who breathe fire, the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongues a sharp sword. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the statement of here's where I am, he breaks into praise. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. You see, what we're doing when we glorify God, we are honoring God's greatness. God's greatness is higher than the created order. It's above the heavens. He is exalted as the highest one. He is the one who is the highest one. His glory covers the earth as wide as creation is, as high, as deep, as great as all of creation is. The glory of God, the character, the love, the person, the care of God, the greatness of God is greater than all of creation. And that one, listen, that one who is greater and higher than all others, guess what happens? When you come to know Jesus, the glory of God comes inside of you. That's why Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So in the cave, David glorified God. Look, here's what I'm trying to say. Some of you are somewhere in your life you don't want to be. You either want somebody else's life. By the way, that's envy. That's envy. I want to be them. That's envy. Did you get that? It's not a good thing. By the way, what you think they have, they don't really have. You either want to be somewhere or go somewhere else. I'm going to leave and go. Boy, David is the expert on helping us learn. When you're desperate, just run. Doesn't matter where you run. Doesn't matter what you do, just run. Well, that didn't help David very much. When you're desperate, when you're feeling the brokenness of life, when you don't know what to do. See, some of us are saying, I'll glorify God if I could be that person, or I could live there, or I could do that. And the Lord just lets me live right here in Dixon. What in the world? It must be better in New York City. Good luck with that. It must be nicer in their house. No. You got to learn to glorify God in the cave, right where you are. Now look, for some of you, you haven't prayed yet. Your will isn't broken yet. You're holding on. You're holding on. You're not willing to yield. You're not willing to give in. David in the cave prayed. And when he prayed, he experienced the protection of God. He experienced God's provision. God sent him what he needed, including the most important thing, his presence. So I ask you today, are you glorifying God? What does it mean to glorify God? It means to honor God. It means that what I say honors God. By the way, are your words honoring to God? Not here in the church house. Well, yeah, even here in the church house. When you talk at home, do your words honor God? When you speak with your friends, do your words honor God? Do you honor God with your words at work? Do you honor God with the way you live, with what you do? Paul said, you've been bought with a price. When Jesus died on the cross, you've been bought with a price. Therefore, followers of Jesus, glorify God in your body. David learned how to glorify God in the cave. He glorified God in the most miserable place in his life. He even says, verse 6, my soul, this is the language of a broken man. Listen, my soul is bowed down. Just the circumstances of life just keep coming. The load's heavier and heavier. I'm just bowed down. I'm about as low as I can go. I'm in the cave of despair. But I'm going to pray. And God's going to be with me. So you know what I'm going to do? Be exalted, oh God. I'm bowed down, but you're exalted. If you want me in this condition, I accept this condition. In my humiliation, you must be glorified. See, this is the way the broken, blessed person talks. not, Lord, I hate my job, so please give me another one. Maybe God has you in that job for a reason. Maybe the Lord's making you put up with that boss for a reason. You know, the same one. He's one of those taters. You know about taters. So David learned to glorify God in the cave. I wonder, do we live by what Paul said, whether you eat or drink? That's pretty simple stuff. Does your eating and drinking glorify God? Whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Well, with this in mind, let me wrap up. Here are the observations. The lessons of the broken but blessed. Here they are. It's a summary of Psalm 57. You know what? It's like the old preacher said to me when I first started in the ministry. Mike, I got some advice for you. Be kind to everybody because everybody's having a hard time. That's pretty much true. I'm a lot older than I was when that man told me that, but I believe that's true. So here's my question. In your hard time, is it because of your sin? In your hard time, is it? You're not really guilty of anything, but why is God letting this happen in your life? Well, one thing is for us to learn to glorify God in our trouble. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. David says, my soul is among lions. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. I lie among those whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted and let your glory be above the earth. We have to glorify God in our despair. Some of you, your soul is bowed down. Did you notice what David said about his soul? Verse 1, my soul takes refuge in you. Verse 6, my soul is bowed down. Verse 4, my soul is among lions. God may not change your circumstances, but when you pray, God will teach you how to glorify Him and honor Him in those hard circumstances. And then we honor God in the highest. He is our highness. He is the highness. His heights. He's above all of this. He's above all the turmoil. And then, lo and behold, what do we find David doing? He's singing. His heart is settled. Look, verse 7. When you pray, friends, listen to me. I'm just about done. When you pray in the cave, in your hard place, God helps you settle your heart down. You're not in turmoil anymore. You're not in torture. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. And what do? You sing. Listen, when you pray, you sing. It's what Paul said. You sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and you make melody in your heart. Listen, friend, when you're in your hardest, most difficult place, does a song for God, a hymn come to your mind? Do you sing and make melody in your heart? That's when you know you're living as a broken, blessed person. You're singing in the cave. You're singing in the cave. Nothing's changed in your circumstance, but you're singing and praising God. It's the story of John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church. Had a miserable mission experience, wasn't even a Christian. Comes to Savannah, Georgia, comes over here to do some things, leaves dejected. He's on a ship going back to England, and they get into a fierce storm, and in the middle of the storm, he hears people singing and praying. It's a group of Moravian brethren out on the middle of the deck with the waves dashing in, and they're singing. That's pretty good. He's afraid. They're singing. What's it going to get for you to pray and thank God for your circumstance? Well, these are the words of broken, blessed people. The only people who sing in the cave, who pray in the cave, who thank God for the cave, are the broken and blessed. Those who have bowed down and yielded themselves and life circumstances into God's hand. Well, Lord, I don't like my life. But you see, friend, you must glorify God in the life you have. He's made you. He loves you. He wants to help you. But you have to go in the cave and pray and take your refuge. Hide in God. Tell God in secret how you really feel. That's when you experience the protection and the provision of God. So may the Lord help us all to glorify God in our bodies and sing and give thanks in the cave. Amen. May the Lord help us do it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for David's example. Oh my, what an example, Lord. I'm not the only one who would confess it. But sometimes I complain about the cave. Sometimes I'm critical of why you've let these things happen in my life. I murmur, I complain, rather than thank you and praise you and pray and worship and glorify you. So Lord, help us today as a church. Help us as a church, Lord. All of us who are here, help us to glorify God in our bodies, in what we say, in what we do, in our eating, in our drinking, in our fellowship, and in our goings and comings among people who don't know Jesus. So with your heads bowed, I want us to make this our prayer just before we have our invitation. With your heads bowed, would you say these words? I'll say them first and you repeat them after me aloud. Let's make this our prayer. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. Be exalted above the heavens, O God, and let your glory be above all the earth. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we pray that you might help us today to hear and know what we must do to follow Jesus. If you're here this morning, friend, and you do not know the Lord as Savior, the Bible says if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So for some of you this morning, the most important decision is for you to be born again, to come to know Jesus. Now we do it this way. We invite people to come and follow Jesus. If God is warmed your heart today, if God is doing something inside of you, you feel a need to do something, that may be to step forward and come and say to this church, I'm ready to follow Jesus, to join this church, make some kind of public commitment and make the good confession. Maybe you're here as a part of this church, you're a member of this church, but you're far away from God. It's time to come back. Look, friend, nobody else can warm your heart. Only God can warm your heart when you confess your sin. So we invite you to do it as we sing this song together. The pastors are here. We invite you to come. If you want to come this morning, you come on and we'll meet you here. Let's sing together. Anybody here, you need to come. Come on, friend. You're among friends. Anybody here? Somebody needs to come this morning. Move me closer, move me closer, move me closer to the cross. Let me see him, see his help, his hands. Move me closer to the cross. Would you bow your heads, please, and thank you for being patient. This is very important. So we have no promise of tomorrow, so what will a day bring? This is the today God's given us. Now, here's my question, friend. If you died today, are you ready to meet the Lord? Everything's settled. You know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You're in the cave, but you've learned to praise God in the cave. That's good. But for some of us, we're still in the cave of despair. Why don't you come to the Lord today? Steve's going to sing again. If you need to come, you come while our heads are bowed, while he sings. Bless you for being here today. Great to see you. Hope you'll be back tonight with us as we have the Lord's Supper. May the Lord bless you, Steve. Let's sing or share scripture and we'll be on our way.
Let's say together 1 Timothy 1:17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.